going to be looking at a passage from Matthew chapter 5. This is a passage in, of course, the Sermon on the Mount. But we're studying parables. We've been looking at parables for the last few weeks. And this morning we're going to look at the parable of the light. I find this to be a really fascinating parable. When I was younger, when I would read it, I was kind of like, oh yeah, parable of the light, I get it, and just kind of brushed over it. But as I've studied it more, I find it more interesting. And so I want to look at this text this morning. And we're going to start with the very first statement he makes in verse 14. Now, he's already talked about salt. I'm not going to talk about the salt. I'm just going to talk about the light. He says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world." And we'll stop right there. Now, when you hear that statement, I had never noticed this before, but I find this really fascinating, a little fascinating truth about this. If you were Jesus and you were telling this parable, wouldn't you identify yourself as the light of the world? If you were Jesus, wouldn't you say, "I am the light of the world"? Isn't it interesting that in this parable, when Jesus is talking to these people on the side of this mountain, he doesn't identify himself as the light of the world. He identifies them as the light of the world. Now, maybe you don't find that particularly interesting, but I find that really fascinating. Because everything we know about Jesus, you would think that that's how he would identify himself, that he's the light of the world. But yet Jesus communicates to these people, he's the light of the world. Now, I wanted to prove some research. So I actually looked the word light up. I'm going to give you the actual Oxford definition for light. It is the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. Now, in light of that definition, see what I did there? Thank you. I'll be here all week. In light of that definition, it really adds some context to what that statement means. Okay. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. He says, he looks out at these people, says, "You are the light of the world." In other words, you are that which gives sight to others. So without you, guess what? Everything's in darkness. Nobody can see anything without you. Now, that's a really interesting definition. By the way, if you look up darkness is defined as the partial or total absence of light. And so when we talk about a world that's in darkness, what does that mean? The darkness of the world is only there in context to the failure of the church to provide light. Because darkness is the absence of light. And so we talk about a world that's in darkness, and we realize that, why is the world in darkness? What is darkness? What's the absence of light? Well, why is there an absence of light? Well, whose fault is that? And by the way, it's funny, because a lot of times people will ask this question: why would God allow the world to be in such darkness? Have you ever heard anybody ask that question? But Jesus answers that question in the Sermon on the Mount, because he doesn't identify himself as the light. He says, "You're the light. You're the light of the world." And so you hear that, and all of you have probably heard this verse 1,000 times. But when you actually stop and think about what Jesus is communicating to these people, what he's saying is, and this really is fairly early in his ministry, and so you start thinking about everything he says after this, right up to the Great Commission, where he tells the disciples, "Go into all the world. Go out and tell everybody." And on Pentecost, as Peter preaches on Pentecost, he is fulfilling Jesus' mission for him. And we see Paul's missionary journeys, and we see all of this. And then you hear Paul in Ephesians talk about the role of the church, All these roles of leadership, he gave some to be apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the equipping of the saints to do what? To be light. To be light. The equipping of the saints for works of service to build up the body of Christ. And so right from his first major sermon, Jesus communicates to his followers and disciples, you're the light. You are the means by which people see. Now, the light that you shine, I supply. I'm not the light, I'm the battery. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, see, this parable just got really good, didn't it? I'm the battery. I am that which provides the juice for you to be the light. How many of you have ever, when the power went out, went and got a flashlight, and the batteries were dead? And you were like, ugh. And it's always funny because people always do the same thing when the batteries are dead in the flashlight. They take the flashlight and they beat it against their hand as if that is going to create kinetic energy in the batteries. And have you ever noticed that you never notice that the batteries are dead in the flashlight until the power goes out? And some of you are going, well, of course not, stupid. You don't turn the flashlight on when the lights are on. You do if you want to test the batteries. And so Jesus says, look, I am the source of light. I am the source. I am the energy that allows you to create light. But you're the lights. You're the flashlights. That's your job. As my disciples, you're not just there to retain my grace and my mercy and my knowledge, but you are there to emit that. So you're the light of the world. You guys are. And so as you're sitting there this morning, you're hearing this message, and it becomes incumbent that you understand this, that you individually, according to Jesus, are the light in this dark world. That is your calling. It is your purpose. It is your job to be that light. Now, moving on from this, in his second sentence, Jesus communicates the power of a cooperative group of lights. He says a city set on a hill, what? Cannot be hidden. He says you can't do it. And you imagine this sermon is probably taking place not too far outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a really, really large city. So you imagine, and on a hill, by the way. So imagine you've got this massive city on a hill, and you go, why can't this city be hidden? Well, at night, now, it's important to note that Jesus is telling this in an era where there's no electricity. That's kind of important. Now, why is that important? I have learned something since I've lived in Greenville. It's never dark in Greenville. Unless there's just a total power outage. But I'm and they've recently put new, I don't know if they're new bulbs or new street lights in my neighborhood, but I hate them because they're bright. And so it's like dusk outside my window at night. And I don't like any light when I sleep. Now, that does not stop me from taking afternoon naps. I will admit that. But when I take an afternoon nap, a lot of times, my wife gets tickled because if I get home from work and I decide I'm going to take a nap before supper, I will normally have a shirt over my head to block the light out. I don't like, even when I was a child, I remember when I was a little kid, Mom and Dad got a babysitter one time, and they said, when you put Stuart to bed, close his door and turn out the light. And the babysitter decided that was inhumane and evil. Who would put a child in a crib in total darkness? People who knew that the kid would yell and scream until you turned the light off. And so the babysitter put me, according to Mom and Dad, the babysitter put me in the crib and left the door open and put a nightlight in, and I yelled and screamed for 30 minutes. And she couldn't figure out why. And so when Mom got home, she goes, why is Stuart screaming? I don't know. She goes, well, why do you have a light on? Well, kids don't like the dark. She goes, that one does. You know, it's this concept, though, that in a time when we don't really understand what total darkness is like. And if any of you grew up in the country, I know Joey and Sharon grew up in Madam Mesquite area, Swan Quarter area. And at night there, that's called country dark. In Crestwell, it is country dark. And I remember first time we would take Caleb, when Caleb and Sam were first old enough to really notice stars, you know, we'd take them to Crestwell, and at night they'd go outside and go, where'd all these stars come from? Because you can't see them in Greenville at night. It's too bright. So imagine living in a period with no electricity when it was nighttime, it was dark. And so you're out in the countryside and it is just pitch black, but then off in the distance, you see this city on a hill. And in that city, there are torches that line the roads that they light at night so people can move up and down the roadways and not be in pitch black. And homes, a lot of times they would put candles or torches or lamps in the windows so people could see. And so if you were looking out from a really dark place and you look towards that city at night, there'd be no way to hide that thing. Because you would see, you can see torchlight for a long way off. And so imagine a city the size of Jerusalem, all those torches and all those lamps and the light they would put off. Jesus says, when you get a bunch of people emitting even a small amount of light, when you put them together, can't be hidden. Can't be hidden. So what does that mean for the church? Now, if you individually put off a small amount of light, collectively, how much light should the church be producing? And you can think about that as an individual congregation or as the collective amount of churches in a city or in a county or in a community. Jesus says when you have a collection of light like you would have in a city, you can't hide it. There should never be a scenario where you have a collection of people who are emitting light that the world can't see. He said that should never happen. He says it can't happen. It can't happen. So if we live in a world, and we use this term a lot, right? It's a dark world, right? There's a lot of darkness in this world. The darker the world is, the brighter the light from the church should be, right? So here's the question. If the church is not emitting a significant amount of light in the community, what does that say about the church? If Jesus says that a city set on a hill can't be hidden, if a large collection of lights can't be hidden, what does it say if the light from your community of believers is it being seen? Well, that must say something about the light that we're putting out, right? So Jesus says, as a collection of people, and again, we don't know exactly how many people at the Sermon on the Mount. There are probably several thousand that are there. We normally envision there being at least that many, at least the size of the crowd where Jesus fed the 5,000. So as Jesus stands on this hill and he looks out and he looks down this hill and he sees these thousands of people that are gathered, and he says, you are the light of the world. And as a collection of individuals, like a city that can't be hidden, you guys, as my disciples and followers and believers, should be emitting a tremendous amount of light in this dark world. Then, after he addresses the collective light of these people, he goes to the individual. He said, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. Now, this is proof positive that Jesus never worked church camp. Because in the dorm at night, children will light a, they'll turn on a flashlight and hide it under the covers. And they don't think that anyone can see it outside the room. which is always comical. It's like I'll be walking by the boys' dorm at night, going from the dean's quarters to the front of the dorm, and we'll be laughing because you'll see lights going off, and it's like they have no idea we know. And then when you come in and go, turn that light off, they're like, what? It's like the shocked face. Does that happen in the girls' dorm? Okay, it's not just the boys. Okay. And it's like, what? How did you see it? It's like, dude, it's dark. You pull out a flashlight at night, you can see it. So with the exception of campers, nobody lights a light and then tries to hide it. Jesus says, why would anybody do that? Now, I want you to think about the implication of that statement for you as an individual. Here's what Jesus is asking you as an individual. Why in the world? What would be the circumstance where you would ever accept me as your Savior and then try to keep it a secret? Who does that? Does anyone do that? Does anyone accept my light into their life and then try to hide it? Why would you do that? That wouldn't make any sense. Jesus, nobody does that. Nobody lights a lamp and then hides it under a basket. What do you do with it? Jesus says, what do you do with it? You put it on a lampstand, right? You put it up in a lampstand so it lights up the whole room. Now, it's a simple question. How proudly do you display your light? How proudly do you do that? It's like, hey, I want everybody to know who I am and what I am. Or do you like, well, you know, that's personal. I've heard people say this a number of times over the years. My relationship with the Lord is between me and Him. It's very personal. Everybody doesn't need to know it. Now, does that sound like somebody that's heard this parable before? No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound like that at all. It doesn't sound like somebody gets this at all. Jesus, who in the world would ever have access to my light and then try to hide it? Now, keep in mind, if you're thinking, well, but Jesus doesn't understand my situation. Let's keep in mind the situation that Jesus is preaching this message in. Who's after Jesus right now? Well, it's everybody, right? The Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, probably the Romans are watching him. I mean, everybody's kind of paying attention to him. And so they're all, and he's in danger from all of them. And so it's not like Jesus doesn't understand that there's risk involved. But he says, if you don't want the risk, don't take the light. It's pretty simple. If you don't want the risk, just don't take the light. But who in other words, if you don't want to be spotted, don't ever light the lamp, right? If you're, you know, we have this saying, if you're scared, pull off the side of the road. You know, if you don't want to drive, get off the road. Don't get in the way. You know, our coach, man, when I played high school football, our coach had a very simple philosophy. If you're scared to get hit, you're in the wrong game. He said, you're playing the wrong game if you don't want to get hit. If you're scared, take your pads off and go home. Why in the world is anybody scared to get hit? Sign up to play football. Jesus says, if you're scared, you don't want anybody to see the light, don't light the lamp. Just don't light it. But if you're going to light that lamp, if you're going to accept my power source into your life and you're going to start shining, I expect you to display that thing. I expect you to put it on a lampstand so everybody can see it. So he starts this parable by identifying that they're the light. Then he talks about the collective power of all these people who were lit. Notice they're lit. My daughter would be very proud that I worked that into a sermon if she was here. And then you've got the individuals who Jesus says, why would you ever try to hide that light? And so after asking that question, Jesus says this in verse 16. He says, let your light shine before men. And notice that there's a condition here. He doesn't just say, let your light shine, but he says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify who? The Father, not you. Now, this is something I have to remind myself of frequently. And a lot of people in ministry probably don't remind themselves of this enough. But this is a fundamental concept of being a Christian. Jesus says your whole purpose for shining your light is not so people will look at the condition of the flashlight, but brag about the power of the battery. Man, that's a bright light. You got some good batteries in that thing. Jesus says that you shine your light before people in such a way that when they see your light, they glorify who? They glorify God. They don't glorify us. They glorify God. So the object of being a healthy church is not so that people will go, man, University Church of Christ is a great church. That's a fantastic church. The object of us being a great church is so that people say, man, the God that church worships is an incredible God. He's done some amazing things through those people. Flawed as they are, man, he's done some great things to those people. Man, what a mighty God they must serve. That's the whole point. And we miss that sometimes. We miss it sometimes. And so we think, well, I don't shine my light enough because I don't get enough positive reinforcement from it. How many of you have ever opened the door for somebody that they didn't say thank you and it irritated you? Now, I've done that. And I will not lie. I will confess this in front of my family. I have opened the door before. Somebody walked in. I was like, you're welcome. Any of you ever done that? Yeah, I've done that. I freely admit I've done it. I did it one time in front of my mother. She looked at me and she said, why'd you open the door for that person? I said, to be nice. She said, well, then it didn't require a thank you. Were you opening the door to get a thank you or were you opening the door to be nice? Well, I was opening the door to be nice. Then why'd you get mad when they didn't thank you? There are times I really couldn't stand my mother. She would do stuff like that. Because it's not that she was right, but she was irritatingly right. Okay, you got me on that one, Mom. You really do. You got me on that one. Why do we shine our light? Is it so that we'll be employee of the month of heaven? It's like, hey, I got a plaque in heaven. I was employee of the month. My light shined brighter last month than anybody. Look, it's right there on a plaque. That's not the purpose. That's not the object. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. And that's important because of your light, people can see. But the purpose, now, what's amazing about this to me is it's so subtle and it's so obvious. And it so goes right over our head sometimes. Think about this. Is the purpose of a candle so that you can see the candle? Nah. The purpose of the light source isn't so you can see the light source. The purpose of the light source is so you can see all the other stuff in the room. Right? So is your purpose as a light source for God so that people can see you? Well, no. And how do we know that? Because that's not how any light source works. The flashlight's purpose is not so you can see the flashlight, it's so you can see the stuff you shine the flashlight on. The purpose of the light bulb in your house is not so, oh, look, there's the light bulb. I was wondering where that was. But it's so you can see the things in the room. And so it is with us. Our purpose of being the light, as Jesus defines it, was not so that people would see us, but so that people could see him. I mean, it's so simple. It's so obvious. And yet we miss it so often. Because we've got this idea that my purpose for doing good works is that people will tell me how awesome I am. And that's not the purpose at all. Jesus says, look, you do this. You let your light shine before men in a way that they see what you're doing. They see the light you're producing, but it points them to the Father. They don't see you. And they know you're there. They know there's a light source, and they're grateful for it. I'm grateful for that flashlight when the power goes out. I'm grateful that when I flip the switch at the house, the lights come on in the house. But I don't walk in and go, oh, I don't walk over and hug the lamp. I'm grateful for it. But what it does is it gives me the ability. Have you ever tried to walk through your living room at night and misjudge where something was? Now, this is a lot harder when you have young kids, because they leave obstacles like Lego blocks in the floor or things like that. We do not have an ottoman in our living room because of the Dick Van Dyke Show. Because if you remember the Dick Van Dyke Show, every episode Dick Van Dyke Show, Dick Van Dyke tripped over the ottoman and almost died. And the lights were on when he did that. Any of you ever kicked the corner of a chair in the dark? And we're certain that when you turned the light on, you were having a toe missing. You think about all the things that turning on the light does. It alerts you to danger. It points you to the safe route to where you're trying to go. It gives you the ability to find that with what you're looking for. So when we provide light to the world, that means the world now can see Christ. And a lot of times we go, why do people not see God the way I do? And here's the sad answer to that. Sometimes it's because God's people aren't providing enough light for them to see. And we go, why isn't God doing something so this person can see? And what we don't realize is he's providing the power. We're just not putting the lamp up so people can see. So this parable is it's really simple, and it's one of those things that we've read it a bunch of times, and we go, oh yeah, you're the light of the world, yeah, I got it. But there's so much stuff there about our role as the light, and how when we individually provide light for a room, or we collectively provide light for a community, light that can't be hidden. Even when the world tries to obscure it, it can't. Darkness cannot obscure light. Because darkness is defined by the absence of light. And so when light is there, darkness is not. And so for us as individuals, we should read this text and ask ourselves a really simple question. And we'll pose this question as the praise team comes to lead us in our communion song this morning. How effectively am I lighting the path for other people? That's a fairly simple question, right? That's not a complicated question. How effectively am I lighting the path for other people? See, I've already found the path. That's how I have the light. I'm on the path. But the question now is, how effectively am I lighting the path for other people? Can other people find their way to Christ because of the light that I'm producing? Think about that this morning as we prepare for the Lord's Supper.